Good Friday afternoon, and welcome back to the Bun Sports Show on BunSports.com. It's that time, and the football season is now over. It was completed last week with all the championship games and season finales for a lot of teams, and it's sad for those of us who love college football, but we do know the bowl season is upcoming, so we do have some more football to look forward to. Let's bring in David Sears, who's, of course, the host of Jocks Game Day Overtime. You can hear that from 9 to 11 in Birmingham on WJOX. David, how are you this Friday afternoon?
Doing very well. It's kind of a dreary right here where I'm at right now, but I'm looking forward to one final regular season college football game, and of course the big award that goes down tomorrow night in New York. And
it does.
I think we'll see some history made.
The Downtown Athletic Club, and will it be Johnny Football? I think you just alluded to that with your answer. Not will it be, Sears. Should it be?
I think it should be. And I know a lot of people are saying that Johnny Football, that Johnny come lately to the Heisman race. But if you look at what he did record-wise
right. With
the amount of yardage in the SEC, he was an unknown commodity coming into a very difficult conference, and he was able to guide them to a 10-2 record. He made a couple of amazing plays. He had an amazing game against Alabama that vaulted him into the Heisman race. I think that he is, without a doubt, your number one contender for the Heisman. Now, a lot of people say Manti Te'o was just a solid competitor. He was there towards the top of the list all year long. I personally think that, yes, he's a good defender, but there are several defenders who are better than he, like Jarvis Jones, like Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah.
But he has the sympathy vote for the tragedy he went through with his grandmother and girlfriend at the beginning of the season. And I think a lot of people want to do that and make a statement vote, just say that a true defender has never won the high award, so we're going to give it to him. And it's one of those deals that I could see it winning just because enough people don't want to make it a statement. They don't want to give it to a freshman. They want to give it to a senior. And he has all these great stories going for him. But if the world is just Johnny Football, should win the Heisman.
Yeah, I think Johnny Manziel will win it. And if I had a vote, I would vote him for sure on my ballot in first place. But I have to say, I gave Jadeveon Clowney a lot of consideration on my on the ballot, one of the awards I was voting for. I think that Jadeveon Clowney is the best player in college football. Now, should he win the Heisman? That's up for debate. But I think defensive players get the shaft all the time, and I think Jadeveon Clowney is a better, more important defensive player to his team than Manti Te'o, who's not even the leading tackler on Notre Dame's team, is to the Fighting Irish.
I agree 100%. Remember, Jadeveon Clowney played the last four games on a bad foot. Imagine
yep.
a healthy Jadeveon Clowney against Clemson. He probably would have had 10.5 sacks instead of just the 4.5 he ended up with.
Well, the SEC East is going to get to do more than imagine that next year. I heard Andy Staples earlier say that Jadeveon Clowney will be the best athlete in football next year, and he did not say college. He said football next year, so we'll have to keep an eye out for that. Well, looking at these coaching changes, Sears, and it's the landscape, especially here in the SEC, has been shaken up over the last week or so. Let's go back to the first shoe that dropped, and of course, Arkansas has been looking for their coach for quite some time. There were rumors about Les Miles. I don't think anybody really seriously bought into those. But now the Hogs have finally found their man. They lured away Wisconsin coach Brett Bielema, who has led the Badgers to 3 straight Rose Bowl appearances, and this year another one, also a Big Ten championship for the Badgers this year. Your thoughts on the amazing coup by Jeff Long?
I think it's a great move, honestly. The style of football is very different from the Petrino era that we've seen at Arkansas. Petrino, a very pass-happy quarterback. Bielema, very much a pound you in the ground with a solid running game, and then use a great defense. It's a very SEC-style football, and we'll get to see him do it. Now, he's going to have to hit the ground running. I believe I saw, Luganville have Arkansas' 13th best recruiting class in the SEC right now. He's going to have to do a lot of work to salvage this recruiting class.
Yeah.
But if he can get the type of player he wants in there, a big, dominant offensive line, a couple of solid backs like Monte Ball or T.J. Yeldon or something like that, he'll be able to get that running game going and make Arkansas a very, very good team. But right now, the SEC West is so tough. You have your upper three right now with Alabama and LSU and Texas A&M, and there's that middle tier with Mississippi State, Auburn, and Arkansas, so he's going to have to work really hard to try to make Arkansas a prominent power in the very, very dominant SEC West.
It's going to be tough. You're right, and he needs a good defensive coordinator also to help assist with the offense there that he will try to implement in Razorback country. But I think it's another great hire by Jeff Long. I think he hit a home run with his hiring of Bobby Petrino several years ago in 2008, and now 4 years later he does it again with Brett Bielema when nobody expects it, and I think it somewhat makes up for the disaster that was John L. Smith's one-year deal that was decided on there. And I think that this proves, because of the letters, the correspondence that we've now learned about with Bielema and Long earlier in the year, this proves that he knew what he was doing all along, and he was going after his man. And I think he firmly believes that Bielema is the guy to lead that program forward. Well, Auburn also made a hire this week. Gus Malzahn, the former offensive coordinator, of course, on the he was offensive coordinator when Auburn went undefeated two years ago in 2010 with Cam Newton. It's not like it's not every day in Auburn, Sears, that they hire a coach that was on a team that went undefeated and won a national championship, right?
Well, it's the second straight one they've gone for.
Man.
With Gene Chizik. Gene Chizik, of course, came from Iowa State and was 5-19.
Could Auburn do better than this? Is this the best they could do?
I was either going to be Malzahn or Petrino, and I think it was a very divided base from what we hear internally. Yeah. A lot of the big money boosters wanted Petrino, and a lot of the old guard wanted Malzahn. Now, if Malzahn's able to implement his staff and not have people meddle, I think he'll do very well. He kind of had some meddling with his offense in 2011, which caused that offense not to be as effective as it normally was. I mean, look at 2009. He was able to put up great numbers with Chris Todd at quarterback. So it's not like his system won't work. Now, a lot of people say you need to have a Cam Newton and a Michael Dyer to make this offense be extremely exciting. I think you'll get the right players in there. Jeremy Johnson out of Carver Montgomery should be a very good quarterback for him coming out of high school, and he'll be a true freshman. I think he'll end up getting the starting nod over Clint Mosley, Kyle Frazier, and Jonathan Wallace. But he's going to have a lot of work cut out for him. He does have a lot of his players left over from that system, but they're going to have to get everybody back in shape for the spread offense system that he runs and implemented. The big concern for me about Auburn's that defense.
Yep.
That defense since 2010 has been garbage, and we saw it with Amari Cooper breaking three tackles for a touchdown run. They were not very solid fundamentally. They were not breaking down to make a tackle. They were not wrapping up for tackles and allowing extra yards. There were several plays with Alabama that went for, I think, 9 or 10 extra yards just because they didn't wrap up. They hit the guy, fall down, and the ball carrier would just keep running. So that defense is going to need a lot of work. I think he did a very smart hire with Ellis Johnson, one of the best defensive coordinators. We saw what he did at Alabama in the late 90s. We saw what he did with South Carolina. So they're going to have a lot of coaching ability on that defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
Now they're going to have to get the talent and coach up the talent they have to make that defensive side of the ball a big force.
Yeah, I think a lot of Auburn people, I've talked to a lot of them this week, and they have mixed emotions about the hire. I think they're okay with the hire, but it wasn't the grand slam that I think a lot of Auburn fans were hoping for. And I hope things turn out for the best for Auburn. I have a sneaking suspicion, though, that we could be sitting here 2-3 years down the road talking about some more mediocre seasons and whether or not Malzahn is on the hot seat. And I think next time around it's going to be Athletic Director Jay Jacobs, who is also going to be under the gun. And if this doesn't pan out, and it could be sooner rather than later on his end, but if this does not pan out, then I think he will be the fall guy. And I think a lot of people will be there'll be a lot of turnover in the Auburn athletic department. And I also think that it was interesting. You talked about ruling with an iron fist. Malzahn has gotten rid of Trooper Taylor, who is, of course, a very prominent member of Gene Chizik's staff. So I think that that shows that he isn't going to keep the same regime intact.
I think that's a very wise move. They did lose big linebacker commit Reuben Foster today, though. And a lot of people think that Reuben will follow Trooper wherever Trooper ends up. So we'll find out where that is. But I think you need to cut ties and just start anew. And
yep.
Gus is going to have to do that. And if that means losing a few assistant coaches, losing a few commits for long-term health, there's nothing wrong with that.
We'll see what happens. And then finally in the SEC, the final job to be, it seemed like nobody wanted to go to the problem with Tennessee. It was the kid without a date, so to speak. Charlie Strong turned him down. Mike Gundy supposedly turned him down. Of course, John Gruden didn't even pause to look at the telephone when it rang. And now it is Knoxville, the new man, is Butch Jones, the head coach of Cincinnati. He is going to be the new, and he has a 50-27 record as a head coach. He's been very successful at Cincinnati level. And as we all know, Cincinnati propelled Brian Kelly on to become the head coach at Notre Dame. Look what he's doing. So this could be a positive thing for the Vols in the long run. But I'm looking at it on the surface and seeing what in the world has happened to the Tennessee program.
Well, this has been a huge embarrassment. I know a lot of people are saying Dave Hart had a plan. Well, if this was his plan, it was a horrible plan. You've got a guy that's followed Brian Kelly wherever he's gone and just maintained whatever Brian Kelly does. Now he's going to have to step out and build his own program. He's going to have to come into a very difficult conference. True, right now, even the lesser of the two divisions, but still, you've got Florida emerging as a power, South Carolina emerging as a power, Georgia as a power. You've got those three teams are going to have to compete. Plus, we may see a Vanderbilt team come up and from middle of the pack to bottom of the top pack.
8-4.
He's going to have a lot of competition to deal with. Butch Jones is not a hire that wows me. He's a guy that, I mean, when I heard Butch Jones this morning, when ESPN went with the story around 6 this morning, I was like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Butch Jones, Cincinnati? So they were spurned by several big names like Charlie Strong, Mike Gundy. Butch Jones is going to have his work cut out for him. He's going to have to work to try to win over the fans that they wanted somebody better than Dooley, and they're not sure if they someone better than Dooley.
No, and the word from Knoxville, and spoke with a couple of reporters this morning, the word from Knoxville is not very good. There's not a lot of optimism. Now, there was a lot of optimism about Dooley. That did not turn out well, and so maybe the reversal happened this time as Butch Jones is. But I think a lot of it was fatigue over, is it going to be Gruden? No. Well, is it going to be Gundy? No. Well, is it going to be Strong? No. Well, we're going to settle for our fourth best option here, and I think Butch Jones is a quality football coach, but I also think Tennessee fans put themselves into delusional status thinking that John Gruden or someone of his ilk had any interest in coming to Knoxville, so I think they didn't do themselves any favors there.
Well, the best part is we're going to need to play Travis shave his beard and head if he mans up to his bet.
Now, Clay, We've discussed Clay here on this program before. We'll move on. That's it though for the coaching carousel. Well, there's some other jobs and names linked to them out there. We'll continue to follow it. Colorado, you thought Tennessee was bad though. Colorado might be the worst job opening, or let's just say they're having the hardest time filling it of any so far this year. It's that no one wants to go to the mountains.
That's a program that's just an utter shambles. It's hard to believe that 22 years ago they were national title contenders, and back, I think, in 90 or 91, they won the national title, and they split it with Georgia. So they're a team that's fallen on very hard times. The move to the Pac-12 has not helped them at all, and they're just there as they were a doormat in the Big 12 North. So they've got a lot of work to do, and I don't know who could clean that up outside of Nick Saban.
Well, good conversation, David, on this Friday. We'll pick it up. Next week we'll discuss the bowls, who's playing in what bowls and what you're most looking forward to seeing. So that'll be interesting discussion. But, again, you can hear David on Saturdays, 9 to 11, WJOX Game Day Overtime.
Thank you very much, Jacob.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. Everyone have a great weekend.
You too.